Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
In issues of racism, there are going to be some who will say, why don't you stick to preaching gospel?
The social, political, and economic concerns have increasingly encroached upon the minds of those who should know better.
The real transformative work in a nation is the transformative work of the gospel.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We're ready. Are you ready to go fishing with your loved one, with your coworker, with your child? Do you know how to witness and share your faith? We hope you'll hear this, learn how to do it, and then apply it.
Oh, come on, y'all, now let's go listen. The way of the master is for you to go fishing. Not the kind of fishing that you do in a river, because the baby you is the message to deliver.
We are supposed to be fishers of men, but we got to get equipped first. So that's what we're going to hopefully help you do right now is listen to this witness encounter with Ray Comfort. With, well, we don't know who it is.
We want to put a hook in their hand.
I'm sorry, what?
We're going fishing. We're teaching people how to fish. We want to put a hook in their hand.
I don't think that came out the way you're hoping.
No, it doesn't, does it? No. We want to put a line in their hand and teach them how to fish.
That's what you're going for.
Mm-hmm.
And let's go out. I think we're at Manly Beach with Sonia. Sonia.
Hey, Todd.
Where are you today?
Okay, I'm down at Manly Beach, and I'm here with Sue. And would you believe I'm in a big booth thing, and it's actually got a copy of the Ten Commandments here I'm just looking at. It's amazing.
This would be a perfect segue for you, correct, Mr. Comfort?
I don't know. It seems too good to be true, Todd. Sitting in a booth with the Ten Commandments on the wall.
Moses.
Sonia, who do you have there with you?
I have Sue, and I have asked her about her spiritual beliefs, and she said she believes in everything, sort of a universal belief.
All roads lead to wherever you want them to go, huh?
I guess so.
the old postmodern routine. Just whatever you want to believe, that's your belief, and you're not wrong, and I'm not wrong. Let's just all get along. All right, let's have a chat with Sue.
Okay, thanks, Todd.
All right, Sonia. Sue, Ray, Sue.
Sue. Yeah.
Hello,
Sue. Thanks for coming on the program. My name's Ray.
That's okay.
So tell me about what you believe, about the afterlife. Where do people go? And about your thoughts of God. Could you give me your thoughts on that?
I believe that there is a universal energy or spirit that's everywhere, and everything in the universe is connected. I believe that there is a God and who creates everything.
So he's the God that made everything. He's the creator, and he's a spirit, and he's omnipresent. Is that what you're saying?
Something like that, yeah. Like I was brought up in a Buddhist Taoist background, and I'm exposed to all kinds of religions.
Buddhist background. You say Buddhist. So do Buddhists believe in God, the creator?
No, the Buddhists believe in a kind of nirvana where there is an afterlife and where people go into reincarnation until they become the perfect being, that there's a kind of consciousness.
So as life has gone along, you have developed your own beliefs and that's what you live with, that there is a God and he created all things. Oh, that's interesting. And now, Sue, can I just ask you some more questions about this God? Is this God that you believe in good?
Of course. It is. When I say there is a kind of creator, it's not just a one physical thing. I think it's a kind of spirit. There's a consciousness that's everywhere. It's part of us as well, and it's part of the universe. It's everywhere we see, and it's from doing compassionate, loving kindness and gentle things that contribute to the good spirits of the community. And to the human being, I think those are the kind of attitudes that the whole universe is supposed to have.
Sue, I'm a little confused here. Are you saying that God is a person, or is this an it, spirit?
It's a spirit.
It's just a spirit, and it's not like he doesn't speak or think. It's just a spirit.
Yeah. Well, it's a spirit that does everything.
Okay. Is there going to be a judgment day? Do you think? Is there a heaven and a hell?
No, I don't think so. I think that we keep evolving until we are able to be a kind of spirit that is God-like, in the sense that it is good, it is compassionate, it is kind and helpful to everyone.
Okay, if it's good, if this spirit is good, how come there's not going to be a judgment day? Because there are people around that murder and rape, and if this spirit that created all things is good, shouldn't the spirit make sure this justice is done on a day of judgment? I mean, if we had
I'm not sure why those things happen, but apparently some books seem to propound that they have to happen for people to learn those lessons in life. And it could be because of previous incarnations.
So, Sue, you sound like you've got all these beliefs that you picked up. Let's just say for a minute that you believe in heaven, a place that we can go to after we die. Do you think you're good enough to go to heaven?
No, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that there could be a kind of heaven where everyone goes. I think whatever consciousness it is, whether there is a heaven or whether there's not a heaven, the spirit continues to live, and whether they become something else or whether they become reincarnated, I'm not sure, but it still continues to live as a spirit. As
well, let's just have a little test to see if there is a heaven, to see if you go there, okay? Do you think you're a good person?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do the little test. Have you ever told a lie?
Yeah.
What do you call someone who tells lies?
You would say that they are a liar.
Uh-huh. Have you ever stolen something in your whole life, even if it's small?
Yeah.
What do you call someone who steals things?
You call them a thief.
Now, Jesus said if you look with lust, you commit adultery in your heart. Have you ever looked with someone with lust, sexual desire?
Well, I'm a married person.
But have you ever done it when you were unmarried or married? Even once?
No, it's with my husband. I've got some relationship, of course.
Okay, so there's very bad news. Here it is. Sue, yes. By your own admission, you're a lying thief and you have to face God on Judgment Day, whether you believe in Judgment Day or not. So if God judges you by the Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, do you think you'll be innocent or guilty, bearing in mind that you're a self-admitted lying thief?
I don't agree with your idea of God.
Uh-huh, I know you don't.
I don't think that there is a kind of judgment day where God says, you've done this wrong, you've done that wrong. No, I don't think so. I don't think
Sue, do you know what the Ten Commandments are?
No. I have heard of them, but I can't remember everything.
Yeah, they say you shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not lie. And the first of the Ten Commandments says you shall have no other gods before me. The second is you shall not make yourself a graven image. In other words, you should not make yourself a false god. That's what I did before I was a Christian. I made my own concept of God in my mind. I created a God I felt comfortable with. And that's what you've done. You've created an idol. It's called idolatry. It's a non-existent God. And that God, as I said, doesn't exist. The God that you have to face is a God of justice and righteousness. He's a God of holiness and truth. And you have to stand before him and give him an account of every idle word you've spoken. He considers lust to be adultery. He considers hatred to be murder. And the same God says all liars have their part in the lake of fire. It's a fearful thing.
Let me ask you a question then.
Yes, sir.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
If you believe that there's such a just God, why does he have all these evil murders and evil tsunamis and all those things that happen?
Well, that's a good question. When God created humanity, he created humanity perfect. There was no such things as earthquakes, floods, and diseases, and pain, and suffering, and death. But the Bible says sin entered the world, and with it came suffering and death. So all these sufferings we see, all these tsunamis and earthquakes and people being struck by lightning, show us we live in a fallen creation.
If God is so powerful, according to you, why is it then that they can't stop all these things?
Well, God will stop evil. He will stop evil men. He'll stop murderers and rapists. But the day of that's going to be a day of judgment. And at the moment, you're in big trouble.
I don't think God can be angry at all. I don't agree with you. But anyway, I've got an appointment to go to. All right? Bye.
Thanks, Sue. She's off.
That would be the end of that conversation. Mm-hmm. So thanks for chatting. Have a good day. I believe in everything, and we can all get along, except what you believe, mister. That's the end of that monkey business. I'm tolerant, except of you and your Christianity. That's how that goes. All right, you just heard a woman who said it really doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you're sincere, and I just believe that all roads kind of lead to one big, great, happy, reincarnated whatever afterwards.
And she didn't even give me a chance to be nice to her at the end and say, Sue, thank you for listening to me.
Well, but here's
she was
a
off.
Jewish saying says, throw a rock into a pack of dogs and the one that yelps is the one that got hit. Isn't it better to get a strong response than no response?
Oh, okay, yes. John Wesley said,
talking to me.
John Wesley said, if you preach the gospel in truth, people should either get angry or they should get saved. And you think about it. If you have an argument with your spouse, which probably hardly ever happens with you, Todd.
No.
But you can save face when she starts pointing out you're wrong by getting angry and just saying, I'm out of here, and you slam the door. Away you go. Or you can turn to her and say, honey, you're right. I'm so sorry, and humble yourself.
Yeah, but that's humility in
action.
It's the pride-filled heart that turns and goes, ah, you're just one of those intolerant, judgmental Christians. So if you're in a witness encounter and somebody gets a little bit heated and they walk away, remember, God does the converting. If somebody gets upset in thinking that they're going to be judged by God and it could be that they're afraid. It could be that the Holy Spirit is working on them. You didn't do wrong if you do it the way of the Master. Just use the law to bring about the knowledge of sin and let the Holy Spirit do the rest. And again, it would be better for somebody to get outraged than to go, well, that's really interesting. Listen, I've got to get another Mai Tai over here, but that was just terrific. No, let them get upset because they should be upset. Witness Wednesday continues. This is Wretched Radio. When you sponsor a Tomorrow Club for $30 per month in Eastern Europe, you are writing stories like this.
Vova and Maxim, one is 11, another 13, they're brothers. Both of them smoke like crazy, so when they joined Tomorrow Club, they would just make noise and kick other kids around. That winter, the father left the whole family without wood for the furnace, so they could freeze to death, and without food. So the leaders came and actually brought the wood to the family and fixed the things that they were broken in the home. So the boys saw what happened. They got saved, and the change in their attitude and behavior is just immense.
$30 per month. You'll be discipling 30 Eastern European kids in far-flung and very poor villages in Eastern Europe and so much more. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
There are certain things people love getting for Christmas. You know, like new toys, new socks, the newest iPhone. There are things Wretched would love for Christmas, too. Gospel partners. As this year is coming to a close, would you consider becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner? You see, thanks to our gospel partners, you can find full episodes of Wretched Radio and TV at the home of all things Wretched, wretched.org, among many other resources. For free. Without our gospel partners, there simply is no Wretched. So if you enjoy watching or listening to Wretched and want to continue to do so, would you please consider becoming a Wretched gospel partner? Every dollar you give will be faithfully stewarded. In fact, right now, 83% of every dollar goes directly towards ministry work. Get the details on becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner at wretched.org/donate. Visit wretched.org/donate.
Well, Geneva was married, but in her 20s, she had a one-year-old daughter at home that would interfere with her plans to go back to school, and so she was hoping she wasn't pregnant, but she was. I asked her how she felt about her pregnancy. She said, I don't want it, and my husband doesn't want it. She agreed to do an ultrasound, and she didn't want to take any pictures of the ultrasound, but she did look at it for a long time. And so we put it in the file, and then we started walking out of the clinic with her, and she turns to the nurse, and she says, do you have any referrals for medical providers? And I said, yeah, we've got a good doctor. You can go see him. Well, she went to him, and she chose life.
Ultrasounds save lives. Would you please consider supporting preborn.org, providing free ultrasounds, and presenting the gospel to moms and dads, $28 per ultrasound. How many could you support each month? Please support Preborn at preborn.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. The book of Obadiah is a prophecy against the nation of Edom, who were descendants of Jacob's brother, Esau. Obadiah's message is clear. God will punish those who persecute his people. When you face troubles of any kind, turn to the Lord. Renew your faith in him, for he cares for his people.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Sonia, where are you?
I'm here in Manly. Beautiful beach.
Yeah, and you've got somebody standing there, correct?
I sure have. I've got Patrick here. He's from Perth, and he's a tourist here in Manly visiting this beautiful part of the world.
All right, so Patrick, absolutely. Do you know anything about him, Sonia? Anything about his spiritual beliefs, background?
He's with Riverview Church.
All righty. Well, let's find out what that's all about, because these days it just doesn't make any difference. If somebody says that they go to church, that does not a Christian make. Instead, it's good to ask some questions to probe, check out their salvation experience. Are they born again? Do they read their Bible every day? Not because we want to be arrogant and snooty about our little clique, but we want to make sure that people are saved, because so many people say they are, but they're not when you hear their confession or their lifestyle. All right, Sonia, you want to pass the phone over, and Ray will have a chat with Patrick from Perth while you're the girl in Manly?
Fantastic. I'll pass him over. Here you go.
Hello, Todd and Ray.
Hey, how you doing? You're from Perth?
Yes, that's correct.
And what you doing over in Sydney?
I've just come here to spend 2 days. I used to live here some 40 years ago, and I used to be a lifesaver in Bronte Surf Club, and now I'm here in Manly looking around, yes, which I'm enjoying.
And you haven't been back for 40 years?
That's right, yes. So I have passed through but not spent any time.
Oh, okay. Okay. So tell me about your beliefs. Do you believe in the existence of God, Patrick?
Yes, I do, yes.
So are you a Christian?
Yes.
Are you born again?
Yes, I would say so, yes. I was away from church for many, many years, and I came back to Riverview. Matter of fact, Riverview Church has established one in America. They've only just done that, but yes, I have.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, Patrick, when I said you're born again, you're slightly hesitant. Could you explain to me what you think born again means?
I believe that you've left the church, then, you've not established yourself in anywhere and you've not been going, and then you return and get involved in the church.
You get involved in the church. Yeah, it's a little bit more than that. It's the way I describe it is this. The difference between believing in God and being born again is like the difference between believing in a parachute and actually putting it on.
Right.
Now, there's not much difference while you're sitting in the plane enjoying the flight. You can have the parachute sitting in front of you. It can be on your lap. You can be stroking it. You can be admiring it. You can be believing in it. But when you jump, you'll say, "Ooh, I should have put it on." And so there's a huge difference between, well, someone who believes in God and prays and reads their Bible and goes to church, but if they've never put on the Lord Jesus Christ, if they've never been born again, they're in great danger. Yeah, what are you going to say?
If in your descriptive, I'm probably not born again then.
So the way to get this whole thing cleared up is to ask this one question, Patrick. Do you consider yourself to be a good person?
Yes.
Okay, so what I'm going to do, you know, when you got up this morning, one of the first things you did was probably go to the mirror. Is that right?
No, I went to the toilet.
Asked and answered.
Yeah, I asked for that, didn't I? But I did say one of the first things to do. You went to the bathroom, and then you probably went and looked in the mirror and thought, ugh, my hair's messed up, my face is pale, I need to clean up. And the mirror just showed you that you needed to clean up. And what God's given us is the Ten Commandments to show us ourselves in truth. So what I'm going to do is turn those Ten Commandments around to you so you can see yourself in truth, so you'll see you need to be born again. Okay?
Yes.
Now, Patrick, it's not going to be a pretty sight. It's going to be pretty ugly, but we'll deal with it because it's going to be worth it. Patrick, have you ever told a lie?
Yes.
What do you call someone who tells lies?
A liar.
Have you ever stolen something?
I probably
Okay, what do you call someone who steals things?
A thief.
Uh-huh. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Probably yes.
Okay, that's very serious in God's sight. It's called blasphemy, and it's a violation of the third of the Ten Commandments.
Yes, I might take a correction on that. Yeah, probably I have, yes. I'll say yes.
Okay. The third of the Ten Commandments says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." And here's the last one. Jesus said, "Whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart." Have you ever looked on a woman with lust?
Yes.
Okay, now listen to this, Patrick. Here's the one that's not a pretty sight. By your own admission, you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous adulterer at heart, and you have to face God on Judgment Day. So if God judges you by those Ten Commandments on the Day of Judgment, do you think you'll be innocent or guilty?
Probably I'd be guilty, yeah. I would say that since I've been going to Riverview Church, which is only probably about 2 years, my life has turned around. So I'm probably, say 75% a lot better than I was.
Yeah, but listen to this. There's a huge thing you brought up, and it's a very, very important point. Imagine a criminal in a court of law who's committed rape and murder. Yeah. And the judge says, you're guilty. And the criminal says, yeah, I'm guilty. And the judge says, have you got anything to say? And the criminal says, yes, judge, I did commit rape and murder. I raped that woman viciously and then I strangled her to death. But I want to tell you, since that time, I have turned my life around. Really, I'm a much better person. I haven't raped any woman since then. I've stopped murdering people. I've become a good person, judge. Okay? The judge is going to say, what are you talking about? You're a rapist and a murderer, and I'm going to throw the book at you. Can you understand that? No amount of cleaning up is going to get that rapist and that murderer out of that courtroom. The judge is angry at him because he's violated the law. And exactly the same applies with us. And Nazi war criminals have been prosecuted 38, 40 years after their crimes. Time or cleaning up your life doesn't wash away crime, and it doesn't wash away our sins. Does that make sense? It's a very, very important point. Okay. So does it concern you that if you died today, Patrick, despite the fact you've cleaned up your life, if God judges you by those Ten Commandments, you'd be guilty and end up in hell? Does that concern you?
No, I don't think of that at this point in time.
Well, let me just help you think of it. This is what the Bible says. All liars will have their part in the lake of fire. All liars. No thief will inherit the kingdom of God. No blasphemer, no adulterer, no fornicator. And the Bible says you and I have a multitude of sins. The scriptures call us children of wrath. That means wrath is our father. We inherit wrath. The scriptures say the wrath of God abides upon us. God is very angry at us because of our sins. Now think of a judge who looks at a vicious murderer that's murdered a 14-year-old girl after he raped her viciously, strangled her to death, and he's going to do it again. That judge is furious if he's a good man. If he's not a good man, he'll say, oh, well, who cares? But if he's a good man, he'll be angry. He'll be infuriated at that criminal for doing such a vicious thing. And the Bible says God is angry at us. His wrath abides upon us. And I want you to realize that, because if you don't, you'll never flee to Jesus Christ. You'll never be born again. You'll never be converted. You'll never trust in God's mercy, because you'll think you're fine. You'll jump out of that plane believing in a parachute. And the moment you pass out the door, you'll realize your terrible error. You failed to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Patrick, I'm very concerned for you, and I trust your concern for you. I can tell by the tone of your voice that you want to live and that there's something in you that desires to please God. Otherwise, you wouldn't be going to that church. Patrick, do you know what God did for the world so that we wouldn't have to go to hell?
Yes, he died on the cross.
He suffered and died on the cross. Right. He was God in human form, the perfect, sinless man, the Lamb of God, who came to suffer for the sins of the world. And on that cross, he suffered a horrific death. He suffered as the sin of the world came upon him so that you wouldn't have to suffer. He paid your fine in his life's blood so you could leave the courtroom. And then he rose from the dead and defeated the power of the grave. And this is what you must do, and this is so vital you understand this. Patrick, you must repent. Not just say, God, I'm sorry, but turn from all sin. Say, God, my sin is abhorrent to you, and I'm turning from it, and you willfully put your trust in Jesus Christ. Did you fly across from Perth to Sydney?
Yes, I did.
Okay, you put your faith in a plane. You put your faith in a pilot. You need to put your faith in the same way in Jesus Christ. Just trust him for your eternal salvation. Say, Lord, I trust you. Now, Patrick, the moment you do that, you'll be born again. God will give you a new heart with new desires. He will justify you. That means he'll make it as though you never sinned. He will give you the righteousness of Christ. So when you stand before God, God won't see you just as a forgiven sinner. He'll see you as someone who's been made righteous by the blood of Christ. And he'll grant you the gift of everlasting life, because the scales have been balanced through God paying the fine for you. Your case can be dismissed. You can leave the courtroom on Judgment Day. Oh, Patrick, this is so important. Do you have a Bible?
Yes, I do.
When did you last read it?
I have, probably 3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago. You need to read it every day. It's God's word to you. The Bible says, desire the sincere milk of the word. Feed upon it daily. And love God and show your love for him by reading his word and obeying his word. And the moment you do that, God says he'll begin to manifest or reveal himself to you. And so instead of belonging to a church, instead of cleaning up your life, you'll be a brand new creature in Christ that's come to know the God that created you, and you'll have the joy of having your sins forgiven, and you'll know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you've passed from death to life, that you're on your way to heaven. Todd, would you like to speak to Patrick?
Hey, Patrick, fascinating to listen to. Quick question for you. Are you born again?
I feel that I am, yes. Now, from discussion that's enlightened me, and I'm quite impressed, yes.
I'm glad to talk to you, Patrick. Thank you very much. That is why you spend some time talking to somebody even though they say they go to church. This is Wretched Radio.
Christians are called to make disciples, but where do we start? Hearts for the Lost assists local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They'll fly out to your church to put on an evangelism seminar and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. Heartsforthelost.com. This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Brutenis. This is surprising. Two professional science societies refuse to post job openings at Brigham Young University because of the Mormon-affiliated school's affirmation of marriage as between one man and one woman. I'm shocked. The American Geophysical Union in Washington, D.C., the Geological Society of America in Colorado, yanked the job ads last month, describing the BYU Honor Code as inconsistent with their ethical standards of diversity and inclusion. Of course. The university hasn't issued any official comment on the pulled postings, but three BYU science professors, Benjamin Abbott, Jannie Radenbaugh, and Jamie Jensen, wrote a letter arguing that the diversity and inclusion debate misses a concern for ideological diversity or a willingness to be challenged and the intellectual humility to admit that the other side may have something to offer. And not that I want to bring it up, but, well, it's not very inclusive, is it? Wheaton College student evangelists who filed a federal lawsuit after the city of Chicago ejected them from the iconic Millennium Park got a boost from a former Democratic governor and the American Civil Liberties Union. Hey, the ACLU gets one right every now and again. In early October, a U.S. district court allowed a group whom the city had blocked from the park for seeking signatures on political petitions to join the lawsuit. Former Illinois Governor Pat Quinn represents that group. Later that month, the ACLU sent a cease and desist letter to Mark Kelly, commissioner of Chicago's Department of Cultural Affairs and Special Events, after he denied activists the right to protest against President Trump in Millennium Park. Arguments on the students' motion to bar the city from enforcing the rules are set for this week. Chicago attorney John Mauch, who represents the students, said rules dividing the popular park into 11 imaginary rooms and restricting free speech to one small room affect everyone. This isn't just about evangelists. It's for politicians campaigning, political activists, and whoever else wants free speech, he told the Chicago Tribune. And the European Court of Human Rights ruled last week against Switzerland's attempt to deport a Christian convert to Afghanistan. Switzerland's previously denied the former Muslim's asylum request. ADF International advocated for the convert, who would face extreme persecution if returned to Afghanistan. The court said the asylum seeker would be compelled to conceal their Christian faith and would, in effect, be forced to live a lie if deported to Afghanistan by the Swiss authorities, argued ADF International attorney Lorgan Price. The court also criticized Switzerland for failing to properly assess the risks associated with deportation. Look at that. The ACLU and the European Court of Human Rights both got something right in the same week. That's a cause for celebration. More Wretched Radio straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is exhortation, the spiritual ability to encourage, comfort, and admonish God's people. Whether God's people are oppressed, confused, or in error, God has provided the gift of exhortation to comfort, urge, and correct them. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
All right, Trish.
Hi. So I'm out here at a college campus, Tarrant, a community college. It's in Fort Worth area.
Fort Worth, Texas.
Yep.
That's for anyone who's listening overseas, and Texas is in the United States.
Yes, it is, right in the center.
Mm-hmm.
This, you know, young guy is walking out to his car, and I hopped out of my car real fast and said, hey, real quick, do you have a second? You know, I know this may sound crazy. Do you want to be live on radio, and, you know, do you have a few minutes? He's like, well, yeah, sure. And I said, topic for today is about spiritual things. Is that okay with you?
Topic for the day.
Okay, he says, yeah, sure.
I wondered if you were still with us, Todd.
That's a little on the... That borders on breaking the ninth commandment.
I said, what are you majoring in? Like, what do you want to do with your life? And he said, well, journalism. You know, I'd like to start my own magazine someday, and I want it to be a moderate magazine. I don't want it to be too far left, too far right. You know, he says, not the Fox News type stuff and not really CNN. Yet he says he watches CNN because it's more moderate. But anyway, and then I asked him, I said, so what do you think happens, you know, after someone dies? And he said, well, I think for me, he goes, well, you know, I don't know. He's like, I have no idea, actually. I just don't know. I go, what do you think about the Bible? What do you think about what the Bible has to say? And he says, well, I think that the Bible is good for a life guide, but not to be taken literal. If you take the Bible literal, you're going to become like a nut. You'll become a fanatic.
You're not like one. You become one, at least in their eyes. You do become a fanatic.
He's waiting here. His name is Andre.
Andre, Ray, you ready to go?
Yes.
All righty, let's have a little chit-chat with Andre. Pass it over,
Trish.
I'm walking
right over to him right now. Okay, Andre.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, good, Andre. Thanks for coming on the program.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Sorry, Todd. Hey, do you want to become a journalist to have your own magazine?
I'd like to one day.
Yeah. Hey, Andre, what do you think the answer is to America's problems? Do you think we've got political solutions?
I think it's neither. It's because all we have are the same things, you know, over and over again. You have the same type of Republican.
Hey, Andre. Andre.
Yes.
Andre, hold on. It sounds like you just walked into a vacuum cleaner. Are you in the wind right now?
Yeah, some wind just hit me where I was standing.
Try to get yourself snuggled up next to a building or something so we can hear you and not a lot.
Oh, is that better?
Yes,
that's
sir.
Really good, Andre. Thank you. Okay. So, as you were saying,
Yes. Oh, okay. What I was saying was I just think there's we have the same Republicans, you have the same Democrats. These people, they do the same things. So you're never, they're going to tell you what you want to hear. But once they get in office, what are they really going to do?
So they're all like that. That's all down through history. We've had that. It never changes. You can't trust a politician.
Never changes.
Yeah, they blow with the wind. So what's the answer? Mm-hmm. We're just going to get worse and worse as a nation, huh?
I believe so. I mean, what do we have? At least $1 trillion that we owe or that we're indebted to China or that they got invested in our country. I mean... Uh-huh. You have Saudi Arabia that's got a bunch in here. I mean, what can you do?
Yeah. So now, tell me what happens after you die. You had no thoughts on that at all?
I don't know.
You don't think about it?
Sir?
You don't think about it?
I do think about it, but I mean, the only thing
I can say... So what's in there?
Well, the only thing I can say is, I wonder what I'll be thinking when I take my last breath.
You're probably thinking, where am I going? Why have I left this to the last minute? Am I stupid? Do something about it.
But I've been in church. I've always gone to church. I've kind of been out of it here for a little bit now.
So, Andre, do you think the Bible is God's word?
I do. I do.
So do you think there's a heaven and a hell?
I don't know.
Well, you can know if it's God's word, then it's reliable. You can trust it. It's absolute truth.
Right.
So you can take it literally. If Jesus said there's a place called heaven and a place called hell, well, that's it. If your faith says, yeah, I believe it.
Well, here's my dilemma, is that I don't take the Bible literally.
Why not?
I believe that it's a tool that you can use. It's a good guide. It helps you with your morals, character, and whatnot.
Do you take the Ten Commandments literally? I mean, they're written in stone. You can lean on those.
I take the idea literally, yes.
Yeah, the idea of the commandments?
Idea is good, but the origin and whatnot, that is where I have a problem.
Well, let's see how you do with them. How do you stand up against the commandments? Have you violated them or have you kept them?
Oh, no, I violate them all the time, and I'm not trying to say that to be happy about it. I mean, it's just something that you just do by accident.
You commit adultery by accident?
Oh, no, not all of them.
So you've kept that commandment, the seventh, you shall not commit adultery?
Yes, I have done that. I have kept that commandment.
Now, what Jesus said about it?
I've never murdered anyone.
Do you know what Jesus said about the seventh commandment, Andre?
I'm sorry, I'm getting some wind over here.
Yeah, Jesus said this regarding the seventh commandment. He said, "You've heard it said by them of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart." Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Yes, I have.
So you've broken the seventh commandment.
Yes, I have.
That eighth one that says you shall not kill, the Bible says if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. Have you ever hated anybody?
I have, yes.
Okay, so you've broken that one. So
have you
lied and stolen?
Yeah. I mean, when you're a kid, I mean, like I said, you break every one of them.
So what's going to happen to you on Judgment Day? God takes those literally. The Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. I mean, that's pretty clear.
The only thing I can say is between now and that time, which could be as soon as I get off the phone with you or whatever, you know, I've got to just do what I need to do to get right with God.
So what do you have to do to get right with God?
Remember the commandments, remember the, read the Bible, do what I need to do as far as the right thing, help my neighbor, just stuff like that. There's a lot of stuff that I already do, but I mean...
You have to do more of it?
Excuse me?
You have to do more to be forgiven?
No.
So how can I be forgiven?
I mean, you just have to be repentant, and you have to mean it. You have to open up to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Lord and Savior, and then you'll be headed in the right direction.
Okay, could you tell me why you think Jesus died on the cross?
To take away the sins of the world.
Okay.
To for man to be able to live his life without having to, you know, all the Old Testament things that he was having to do with sacrifice. And I guess if you go by, I believe it was the Quakers that believed in predestination.
Well, Andre, it sounds like you've got a fairly good understanding of what the message is about, that you and I have violated those commandments. God's anger abides upon us because he's a God of justice and righteousness. He set aside a day in which he'll judge the world in righteousness by that perfect standard of the commandments. And if you and I die in our sins, we'll end up in hell. But God sent his son, born of a woman, born of a virgin, to suffer and die on the cross for our sins. On that cross, he took the punishment for the sin of the world, then he rose from the dead and defeated death. So what you've got to do is repent and trust the Savior. And you've made it clear that you haven't yet done that, and you could die before you get off the phone. So if you die before you get off the phone, if a lightning bolt strikes you right now, where are you going to spend eternity?
I don't know. Right. I don't think it would be hell, to be honest with you. I understand everything you just said, but there's just so much that I have done, you know, that I don't know. It's a toss-up right now.
Well, listen to this.
There are some things,
Andre,
that I've done more good. I've done a whole lot more good than bad. I've been baptized. Like I said, I haven't been to church as often as I used to, but I still go.
Andre, we've only got a couple of minutes, but listen to this because it's very important. If a man stands in front of a judge and he's committed heinous crimes, he's raped women, he's murdered them, and he says, "Judge, yeah, I know I'm guilty, but I want to tell you I've done a lot of good in my life. I'm doing good all the time." The judges say, "What has that got to do with your crime? It's irrelevant how good you are. You've raped these women, you've murdered them, and you're going to be punished." And our good works have got nothing to do with our crimes against God. His wrath abides upon us, and nothing can remove that wrath but the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that can appease the wrath of Almighty God. So what you've got to do is realize your good works will not save you on Judgment Day. It's a delusion. God will not be bribed. He'll not compromise eternal justice. You've got to repent and trust the Savior. And if you died today, you'd end up in hell. You have God's word on that. He's seen all your secret sins. And every time you've sinned, you've stored up his wrath that's going to be revealed on the day of judgment. And it's a fearful thing to fall into his hands. So your only hope of being saved is to repent and trust the Savior. Trust in his shed blood. Todd, do you want to talk to Andre?
Hey, Andre.
Hey.
Hey, We've only got a few seconds, Andre.
Sure.
Here's I've been listening to the conversation go back and forth, and I think and I think what the fellow is trying to express is, if there's stuff that you can do, get baptized or do some good things, then when you got to heaven, everybody would go, that Andre, you know what? He did some good things. And you would get credit for going to heaven. But what the Bible talks about is that God is going to get all the credit because he satisfied his wrath by dying on the cross, shedding his blood for the payment for your sins, so that if you'll respond to that good news by calling out to him for mercy and putting your trust in Jesus, then you'll get no credit, and all the credit will go to God, and he's the one who deserves it because he's the one who died to save you. Do you understand the difference there?
No, I understand totally.
All right, so what are you going to stick with, grace or trying to work your way there?
Grace.
Good call, dude. Hey, Andre, thank you for chatting with us today.
Oh, no problem.
Back with more on Wretched Radio.
Thank you for joining us today. Appreciate when you choose to spend part of your day listening to Wretched Radio. We also appreciate when you send us your wretched stories. Idea@wretched.org is a great place to do that. We get all sorts of notes from folks who listen to the radio show, watch the TV show, checked out the video channels on YouTube. Whichever works for you, we do love hearing from you. Idea@wretched.org. We got this note from Cindy. I love hearing you guys on Wretched and Too Wretched with Phil Johnson. Too Wretched for Radio, our podcast. Lately, there's been lots of talk of gospel and sermon discussions. It's helped keep my ears open during our Sunday mornings. Cindy, that's our hope for everything we do, that you'll take it from the radio, TV, and the internet and use it. Idea@wretched.org is where you go to share your wretched story with us. And if you'd like to help make more wretched stories like this possible, you'd become a gospel partner. Details@wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Tempted, but I'm not going to do it.
Some churches in the rural areas in Zimbabwe, you get a church with about 200 members. You only find one person with one Bible.
So tempted to say, you know, for just the cost of a cup of coffee. But I'm not going to do that. But we could change that statistic. There are churches all over the globe. 200 people attending a church with one Bible, $5 will purchase a new Bible for a believer. Bible League International, historically proficient, sound, reliable. Let's get some Bibles into the hands of believers so they don't have to be sharing paragraphs until the next service. Please support Bible League International, wretched.org/Bible.
Here at Wretched, we know you guys are already great at giving away Don't Stub Your Toe and What Time Is Purple. So, why not add Are You a Rotten Fish to your arsenal? Are You a Rotten Fish is a perfect booklet for anyone looking to truly understand what makes a false convert. Are You a Rotten Fish is a detailed treatment of true and false conversions. You know, the difference between wise and foolish virgins, wheat and tares, the difference between good and rotten fish. Give it away to college students as they head off to school or to your youth group at church. Go to wretched.org/fish and get your copies now. Are You a Rotten Fish compares and contrasts the true gospel versus the false gospel in a short, thorough, punchy, yet loving way. Get your copies of Are You a Rotten Fish at wretched.org/fish. wretched.org/fish.
Important dates in Christian history. 1456. Johann Gutenberg produces the first printed Bible, and his press becomes a means for dissemination of new ideas and catalyzing changes in politics and theology. Without the printing press, the Reformation may have looked very different. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Trish is out in the streets, Ray, and she seems to be surrounded by the cast from The Wizard of Oz. Trish?
Hi. You've got to hear this girl's voice. Her name is Casey, and I walked up to them, and they're sitting on this bench, and anyway, and they're talking about what's going to, and believe it or not, she looks at me and she goes, that's interesting, you just asked me the question about what we're going to do with our lives, because they were just talking about that. And so, but anyway, you gotta sing. Would you real quick sing a line that you just one of maybe your favorite lines from your show, The Wizard of Oz, because you're Dorothy.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. Go.
Don't worry the troubles that lie up ahead. You just face them and do not stray. For the dreams that you have up inside of your head, you just get up, get out, and get on your way.
Wow. Ray, we could use your open-air preaching.
And get a crowd.
Now, Trish, not only do you have Dorothy there, but you have the Tin Man. Is that correct?
I've got the Tin Man as well. And it was funny because right when I walked up, Todd, I thought, I'm like, oh, great, he's one of these guys. He's got makeup all over his face. And he goes, oh, no, no. And he kind of waves up his hand. He's like, it's not what you think. And then I looked at this. I saw the silver on his ears. I'm like, you must be the Tin Man.
All right, who are we going to talk to, the Tin Man or the Dorothy?
I think we're going to talk to the Tin Man. And we'll check it out, Todd. You guys got to hear this. You know, when I walked up, you know, Casey's a Christian, and Spencer always comes up to her to ask spiritual questions. And he kind of knows the Bible and was, you know, raised, like, in a sense, in a Methodist church, but he just doesn't know how he's doing. And he feels like maybe God will have mercy on him. He's maybe living a good life, right? But he, you know, I mean, you obviously don't want to go to hell, but you just don't know how you're doing. And I asked Casey, I go, Casey, why are you wearing that ring? I go, you're only 18. Are you married? She goes, no, it's my true love waits ring, right?
That's cool.
And what did you say about that, Spencer, when I asked you? You laughed.
Well, I obviously didn't wait. I guess it's probably not a good thing, but I guess the way society is these days, it just makes it too available.
Well, I'm going to pass off the phone to you. Ray?
I got a question for Spencer, Ray.
How you doing?
Spencer, I was just eavesdropping on your conversation.
That's all right.
So you've given your virginity away, is that correct?
Yes, I did back in high school, actually.
Yeah. So someday when you get married, you will not have that gift for your wife.
That is very true.
Yeah. So do you think that was a good decision?
Well, I'll be honest, it felt like a good decision at the time. Now you kind of look back on it and you think, you know, you're absolutely in love or whatever when it first happens. And you think everything's going to be, you know, you're going to marry that person. You know, that's the way you justify it. And now it's just, you know, you look back 3 or 4 years later and you're thinking, what was I thinking? What at that time, why did that feel like it was the right decision for me to do? And unfortunately, you're right. I will not have that gift to share with my wife one day.
Yeah, so it wasn't a light thing that happened. There was some really big consequences.
Yes, right. Definitely were.
All right. Hey, I want you to meet my friend Ray.
Okay.
Hello, Spencer. How you doing?
Hey, how are you doing, sir?
Trish said that sometimes you ask Casey some spiritual questions. What sort of questions do you ask him?
Well, ever since high school, which was about 2.5 years ago, I've just been, you know, I guess kind of searching for what I'm going to do the rest of my life. And I'm sure a lot of people have those same issues after high school. And it just, I know that she's a very strong Christian and she stands by, you know, I guess what she preaches, quote unquote. And I don't know, I feel like she's a very knowledgeable person when it comes to the Bible.
What sort of questions do you ask her?
Well, I will, most of the time I just ask her, Casey, what is going to fill this void in my life? What? Because I try to fill it with, you know, probably things that I shouldn't. I just ask her, you know, what do I need to do to fill this void? What kind of answers can God provide for me, you know?
You're trying to fill a void in your life?
Yeah, I'm just trying to fill a void in my life.
What about sex and money and stuff like that can fill that void?
You would think that they could, but...
Are you rich?
No, I mean,
well, you haven't tried the money yet.
Wait
till you try the money. It's great to have a really nice house, nice car, a nice family, food for your family, and money in the bank. It's a good feeling of security. You can fill the void with money.
It's true.
So when you get people loving you too, if you've got lots of money. So what about heaven? Do you think there's a heaven?
I do believe there is a heaven. At this moment, I wish I could say I was going there, but honestly, you know, I couldn't be 100% sure on that. And I do feel like there's a heaven, and I feel that everyone is judged, you know, after they pass on. And
so how are you going to do? Do you think you're a good person?
I would say that I have a good heart, but I feel like I just don't feel like I'm living exactly the way that I should. Like, mm-hmm. I always put other people before myself, but in doing that, I might not have always done the right thing.
So, have you kept the Ten Commandments? What about that seventh commandment? Have you kept that?
Which was the seventh commandment?
You shall not commit adultery.
Oh, well, I'm good there so far.
Do you know that Jesus said if you look at a woman and lust after her, you commit adultery with her in your heart?
Well, then I definitely committed adultery, I'm sure, along with many other men out there.
Yeah, so that fornication thing, you know, you've had sex before marriage. Let's just do a little probing, seeing you're being honest with us, and I really appreciate it. Then the other thing, you talked about it with some sense of regret. If a really gorgeous woman called you into her bedroom and there was no one around, do you think you'd do it again?
Oh, wow.
Come on, of course you would. You can't help it.
Of course I would.
Sheep to the slaughter. Do you know, the Bible says fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God. And when you sin through fornication, you not only sin against your own conscience, your own body, but you sin against the body of the person you're having sex with outside of marriage, and you're sinning against God. Did you realize that?
I didn't realize that.
That's what the Bible actually says.
That makes it kind of suck even more now.
Yeah. Now, let's go to the other commandments. Have you ever stolen anything?
Honestly, yes. Yes, I have.
What do you call someone who steals things?
A thief.
Uh-huh. Have you ever lied?
Yes, I have.
What do you call someone who tells lies?
A liar, a sinner.
Uh-huh. Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yes, I have.
And that's very serious. It's called blasphemy. In fact, the Bible says it's so serious to use God's name as a cuss word in the Old Testament. Death sentence for blasphemy. So listen to this, Spencer. By your own admission, you're a lying thief, a blasphemer, a fornicator, and an adulterer at heart, and you have to face God on Judgment Day. So if he judges you by those 10 commandments on the Day of Judgment, do you think you'd be innocent or guilty?
I would definitely be guilty.
Would you go to heaven or hell?
I would go to hell.
So you don't need to ask any more spiritual questions. You just need to get right with God real quick, because if you died today, you're going to end up in hell forever. Do you believe I'm speaking the truth?
Yes, honestly, I do feel like you're speaking the truth. And that's probably the reason why I haven't been to church for a while, because if I continue doing the things that I'm doing now, and going to church just makes me feel guilty. And so I just decided to not go to church because they make me feel bad, even though that's where I should be going in the first place.
Well, really, you need to go straight to God and get things right with Him and let that guilt be gone, because when you get right with God, the guilt leaves. Now, what did God do so you wouldn't have to go to hell?
Well, he put his only son and had him sacrifice himself for the forgiveness of our sins.
Do you understand what that means?
I like to think that I do.
Well, just think about it. At the moment, you're in debt to the law. You're in debt to God's law. You're like a criminal who's violated civil law, and the police have him under arrest. They have him in handcuffs, and they're going to bring him before the judge for sentencing, and then he's going to be punished. That's where you are. You're handcuffed to sin and death. You can't separate the two. And when you die, you'll stand before the judge and he'll say, all liars of their part in the lake of fire, no thief, no adulterer, no fornicator, no blasphemer will inherit the kingdom of God. So what you've got to do is fling yourself upon the mercy of the judge. And God is rich in mercy, and he's made provision for you to be forgiven. When Jesus suffered on the cross, he suffered for your sins. He took your punishment. He paid your fine in his life's blood so God could dismiss your case, so he could commute your death sentence. And what you've got to do in response to Jesus suffering and rising from the dead is repent. That's where you just say, God, no more. No more fornication, no more lying or stealing, no blasphemy, no lust. It's called repentance when you turn from all sin. And you say, I can't do that. Well, God will give you his Holy Spirit and give you the ability not to lust. He'll give you the strength to turn your eyes away when you know you shouldn't be looking. And the second thing you've got to do to be saved is put your faith in Jesus Christ. Trust him implicitly for your eternal salvation. Just say, Lord, I fling myself on you as my Savior. I trust you as my Savior and Lord. The minute you do that, God will create a new heart in you. He'll grant you forgiveness of sins. He'll release you from your guilt. And he'll grant you the gift of everlasting life. Spencer, when do you think you'll get right with God?
I have been putting it off for a while. And I would like to do it, I guess, as soon as I feel like I can.
You can do it right as soon as you get off the phone. Or, you know, all it is, repentance is just an apology to God, where you say, God, I'm so sorry, and I'm going to show you how sorry I am by staying away from that which is an abhorrence to you. You just turn from sin. It's not hard to apologize when you know you've done wrong. And then you willfully trust Jesus. I mean, you're going to get into a car probably when you get off the phone and drive. You're going to trust your life to some brakes. You're going to trust your life to a vehicle. So when you reach the lights, you're going to trust your life to lights that turn green. You're just going to drive straight. Well, just trust the Savior like you trust other things for your eternal salvation.
But it's just I know I'm going to make more mistakes. I know I'm going to.
Yeah, well, then you've got the blood of Christ. It'll be effectual for you. You just go say, Lord, I looked when I knew I shouldn't. Please forgive me. And this is what the Bible says. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when you're trusting in the Savior, that means he'll forgive your past sins, your present sins, and your future sins. You just got to come to him and say, Lord, I fluffed it. Please forgive me. And he'll forgive you because he's rich in mercy. Make sense?
Yes, it does.
You have a Bible?
Yes, I do.
Please crank it open. There's nothing more important than your eternal salvation. Hey, thanks for listening to me, Spencer.
Oh, of course. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Until next time, go serve your King.